Well, good morning. Happy New Year to you. I hope you've had a bit of a rest. Don't be put off by the fact that I've got a bag on my back. I'm sure that's not distracting in any way at all. You'll find out in a minute why there is a back in my bag. Oh, the suspense, I can hear you saying. So we're thinking at the start of this new year about just a short message for communion is, what is our calling? I mean, we could come up with all kinds of things about what our calling is. I used to work with university students, and they'd always come up with a new vision every year, and even though they ended up going back to the same vision. And ultimately, our vision is that we are to live for Jesus. We're to live and speak for Christ in all of our lives. So what does that really look like? Well, we're going to look at Hebrews 12, 1-3. But let me start by reading the first verse of Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So that we're encouraged to think of who's gone before us. We're encouraged to think about those in the Old Testament that gave their lives, and in the New Testament that were persecuted, the ones that were sawn in two, the ones that lived by faith, that had nothing, that saw God provide. We're encouraged to consider what's gone on before us, that we're not the be-all and end-all, and we've just come up with something new. But we're also encouraged to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, I could carry on giving this talk with this bag on my back, and let's face it, it would be a little bit weird. And might get a little bit painful as well, because there's actually stuff in it. Or I could throw off this bag, which is a bit of a hindrance. So I'm going to take it off, because actually it's quite difficult. It's a little bit short, that one. So actually the stuff in this bag, and it kind of represents the fact that all of us in our life face things that hinder and things that maybe can become sin in our life, things that are actually we can idolize in our life. And not all these things are bad in and of themselves, but actually they can become an idol. So it may be that, you know, we've had a great Christmas, but, you know, let's be honest, we maybe have been a little bit gluttonous and indulged a little bit in too many quality streets or roses or whatever our thing is, celebrations. And it can be possible that actually at the start of a year or every year we get into a habit, and maybe sinful habits, where we kind of justify some of the things that we do. And actually maybe God's speaking to us at the start of a new year and saying, well, actually, you know, there's things that we may need to change, or maybe we've been a bit excess on the alcohol, or maybe that's become a problem for us, or could become a bit of a problem for us. And so we end up, you know, indulging or finding comfort in that. And so it becomes not wrong in itself, but actually becomes a sinful pattern if it becomes an addiction. And then there are other things that are less obvious, like our work. This is a bag that I use for my work. And maybe we end up giving so much time and energy and thought to work, and our identity is found in our work, that actually we just become absorbed by that. And it entangles us and it hinders us. If we're honest, you know, these things can all hinder us and entangle us. And we're called to run the race with perseverance. And if we've ever done any running or any cycling or anything, you don't want to add weight on. You want to lose weight. You want to take the bag off your back. You want to lose anything that's going to slow you down. And life, your life and my life, is more of a marathon than a sprint. And in order to change and keep changing and be spiritually fit, we have to keep persevering, and it's a long race. And sometimes change doesn't happen just like that. But actually, we need to see. And at the start of a new year, it's a good opportunity to do this and be honest with ourselves and say, where is our spiritual health right now? Have a spiritual health check. Not that this earns us salvation, not that this is some kind of good work, but actually that when we do this, we recognize before God that we want to be changed, that there is a call to holy running. We don't just run and a kind of, oh, I'm unfit, but there's a call to holiness. And this is something that maybe we're a little bit uneasy of in our life. But actually, the Christian needs to be distinctive in how we live. I need to be distinctive. You need to be distinctive. Therefore, we need this call to holiness. Be holy as I am holy. And throw off all the sin and everything that hinders. And things that maybe are worrying us, or things that get us down, or things that are causing disturbances in our life, that actually we don't need to be hindered by these things. If we've come to know Christ, we can be free from these things and run without these things hindering us or entangling us. So how are we doing at the start of this new year? How am I doing? Well, let's be honest. It's not always easy, is it? We can end up going left or right and actually allowing things to hinder us and to entangle us. But that's not what's going to produce perseverance. It's not what's going to produce maturity and endurance in you or me. But secondly, we need to think about a call to fix our eyes on Jesus. This is really simple stuff, but it's so important for our spiritual health. That we fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We fix our eyes on many things throughout the day, but we are encouraged to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer, the author, and the perfecter of our faith. It's only when we fix our eyes on Jesus that we get true perspective. And so often I can look here or look there, and actually we can become worried and become anxious, and we feel bogged down, and we can struggle in life and feel confused. But it's coming back to this simple truth of fixing our eyes on Jesus. It's all about Jesus and loving him and glowing in the delight and the joy of who he is, because he is a God who wants to give you joy and me joy, even in the hardest circumstances. In the difficulties of your home life, in your relationships with your family, with your friendships, he wants us to experience joy. Doesn't mean to say troubles won't go away, but he wants us to know joy. Why do we know that? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus himself was a joy seeker, because he didn't just endure the cross and say, well, this is something I need to do. He knew what was coming. He knew the joy that was set before him to be at the right hand of the Father. He knew that this was going to be something that was going to be amazing. And he had us in mind and our joy in mind. And so he scorned the shame and sat down at the right hand of the Father. We are called to fix our eyes on Jesus. So I'm really encouraged that over the next 3 months, we're going to be delving into John's gospel, and we're going to be focusing very specifically on Jesus as we start a new series called Jesus Is, that we'll be thinking about who Jesus is, and we'll be reminding ourselves, or thinking for a first time or a tenth time, about who Jesus is. And this is so important, because we need this in the world that we live in. We're going to be reminded that Jesus is a lifesaver. Jesus is a healer. Jesus is the life giver. Jesus is the good shepherd who cares for the sheep. Jesus is a servant who laid down his life and shows us what servanthood is. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the one who promises the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who remains when all else falls away. Jesus is the one who was dead and buried and rose again and ascended to heaven, is coming back again. Jesus is the one that makes the difference. And I want us as a church to delight in the goodness and the uniqueness of Jesus in these next few months ahead, that this will be a blessing to all of us. And let's be reading John's gospel in our own time. But more than that, not that we just know and grow about Jesus, but that as we consider the significance of Jesus, that we also go. And here's a great challenge for us. There's a brilliant resource called Uncover John. And we can sit down and read that with somebody one-to-one. Maybe somebody's interested in finding out more about the gospel. Maybe somebody at work, one of your neighbors, one of your friends. And we can say, well, let's just discover actually who Jesus is. And it's incredible. This has been used in many universities and many churches. And people are coming to encounter Jesus because they're actually reading about Jesus in the Word in John's gospel. And so there's a challenge for us to say, well, who can I meet with? Who can I pray with? Who can I maybe say, I'll get one of these and study John's gospel? But let's study that ourselves, but let's share it and encourage others to fix their eyes on Jesus. And the last main area is a call to not grow weary or lose heart. We see, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's be honest, probably many of us are a bit weary. Many of us lose heart. We're weary because we have the circumstances of life, the busyness of work, the busyness of school, the busyness or pressures of exams, the busyness of college or university, the busyness of just social media demanding your attention. All kinds of busyness makes us weary. But we can also lose heart. And interestingly, in the original Greek, so often heart in the Greek is cardia. That's where we get the word cardiac arrest. But this is psyche, where we get this idea of our well-being. We get the word psychology from. And so this is about us not growing weary or losing our sense of well-being. And what happens is when we take our eyes off Jesus and we get the wrong perspective and the wrong motives, we can end up going inward and actually growing weary and losing heart. One of the most important things for us to understand as we go forward in relation to this is that as we consider these things, we don't just see them as individuals. What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus didn't come just to save a bunch of individuals. He came to save a people. He came that he would build his church and that we are the body of Christ. And as we reflect on communion coming up, we are the body of Christ. That is the most radical thing on earth, that we, a mixed bunch of people, mustn't lose heart and grow weary, because we are the body together that encourages one another, that we're not just isolated individuals randomly turning up on a Sunday, but that we are people that have an opportunity uniquely as the local church to encourage one another and build one another up, because we are the body of Christ, and that's unique. And some of the practical applications of that could be, this is not just a to-do list. This is a, if we love Jesus and we love the people of God, we want to grow and become more like Jesus. And so we might want to consider being part of a home group. We share life together. We might want to consider knowing what's going on in each other's life, unpacking the word, praying for one another. We might want to consider the prayer cafe that happens here once a month. Let me just say, this is not something just for middle-aged people and older people. I know that people's lives are busy. But I could pretty much guarantee that if a loved one in your family was dying, you'd probably want people to pray for that person. You'd probably want to gather people around for that person. But the reality is, we're living in a world where there are many, many people lost. There's an emergency and an urgency going on where people don't know Jesus. There are people who struggle to get perspective, people struggling with their health in this church, people struggling with grief. And so as the body of Christ, let's come together more. The prayer cafe is one thing that I'd love to see growing. But let's come together more and pray and commit one another in prayer. Because actually we need one another. I need you. We all need each other. That's what the body is about, not about us isolating ourselves. And if you're listening on this recording and you're not coming to church on a regular basis, it's where we get fellowship in the body by being in the being of the church together that we actually find that love and security and that reminder of who Jesus is. But the other thing, and I know this is challenging, and I'm challenging myself in this, I have a confession to make as well, is that at times I find it hard to read the Bible as well. I love God's word. But, you know, there's school runs to do, there's food to make, there's all kinds of things going off. It's hard sometimes to just find that time to stop and read God's word. And I wonder sometimes whether we struggle to read God's word because we hear about it as, well, you need to study the Bible. There's actually no Bible references in the Bible that say study the Bible, but there's lots of Bible references that say meditate on the word. And that takes a bit of an intention from you and from me to stop and meditate on the Bible. We are meditating all the time. If you worry, you are meditating because you're meditating on what might happen or not happen. You're meditating on what's going to happen next. We're all able to meditate, but we need to meditate on the Word. So we need to be in the Word, and the Word needs to be in us. So that when you go into that difficult meeting at work, you call to mind Scripture. When you're in that difficult situation at school and you feel isolated, you call to mind Scripture because you've meditated on Scripture. When you go into that difficult scenario in that relationship, you call to mind Scripture because you've meditated upon the Word. And I don't know where you're at with that, and I want to say this in the most loving way, is that maybe you haven't read the Bible, I don't know, for a month. Maybe you didn't even read the Bible the whole of last year. This is a new year. Let's get into the Word so that the Word gets into us, and let's meditate upon Scripture, that we might not grow weary, that we might not lose heart, because it's so easy to grow weary and lose heart. But this is life-giving as the Spirit of God breathes the Word and imparts into us and illuminates His Word. It's life-giving. I need it. You need it. We all need it. So let's encourage one another in the year ahead to not grow weary and not to lose heart. Let's encourage one another to be holy runners that throw off all that hinders and sin. Let's encourage one another to fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus this year as we all run this race together. And as we come now towards thinking about communion, we want to think about the fact that Jesus has laid down His life for us. He's paid the price for our sin, that we no longer need to be under condemnation as we put our faith and trust in Him, that we can actually commune with God and commune with one another because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, that we are people who don't deserve His grace, that we are people that don't deserve His forgiveness, yet Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him, and we are part of that as we put our faith and trust in Him. We can encounter Him today. We can know the peace of Christ and the forgiveness of sins that washes us whiter than snow. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, may this be a joy to our hearts. May we encourage one another with this truth, because we mustn't be individual, isolated people. We must be the body of Christ, communing with Him, communing with one another. That's the beauty of communion. We commune with Christ and with one another. So I'm just going to leave a minute or so silence, and then I'm going to pray and give thanks for the bread and the wine, and just ask God, what is He saying to you this morning in relation to what we've been hearing from His Word?